pase. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Wednesday, February 12th, 2020. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins, as always, this morning to talk LAFC and to talk about the big blockbuster trade yesterday of Walker Zimmerman to Nashville. How you doing, Alicia Rodriguez, this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're well, Alicia. I guess the first question is a pretty simple one. On the surface, yeah, LA gets a lot of money for Zimmerman here, but I don't understand it. Why did they move one of their best players, one of their best 11 players in the league last year?
Yeah, you and me both. I'm a little confused by it, too. I think you can make a case for trying to sell high. I think Zimmerman has been really, really good. At the same time, I think you could make a case that Eddie Segura was even better last season, and Zimmerman's name recognition, you know, helped him in the best 11 case. But he's a really good player. And, you know, making this move a week before CCL kicks off is, you know, the first time the team plays in CCL, and you guys know how Champions League goes. You know, it's a crazy beast. So the initial, you know, trying to put the puzzle pieces together in terms of this deal in the context of what's coming up for LAFC, it, you know, it's a mystery for sure.
And LAFC's selling out preseason games, and the attention and the excitement around this club is obvious, even from as far away as we are. So I'm wondering what the reaction amongst the fan base has been to the Zimmerman move.
It's been mixed. There's definitely, I think, a contingent of supporters who understand kind of where he fits in the MLS ecosystem, which is, frankly, one of the best defenders out there. You know, like, that's part of this deal that doesn't make a lot of sense. But at the same time, I think there is a section of the fan base that was sort of like, well, he slumped a lot last year, you know, and undeniably, I think he was completely dominant the first half of last season, and really helped set up LAFC to have a fantastic campaign. And then after he came back from the Gold Cup, he did slump some. Was it enough to say, okay, we're going to move him, you know, at the age of 26 on? You know, I don't – to me, that seems a little bit sudden, but yeah. So I think there's some parts of the fan base who are like, yeah, you know, he's not perfect, so, you know, let's see who's next. Because they trust what the team has built so far. But there's a part of me that thinks, you know, in MLS, like, dominant center backs don't grow on trees. You know, be careful what you wish for. So there's definitely, I think, a mix of opinion amongst the fan base.
When a big blockbuster trade like this happens, Alicia, I think that there's two, like, scenarios in my mind that look possible. It's either the team itself, like, example, LAFC, who would shop him around and find a suitor, or maybe what more plausible here, a team like Nashville FC calling everyone and throwing anything they can at the wall and trying to find a suitor. And maybe Nashville offered LAFC an offer they could not refuse. Up to $1.25 million of allocation money could be sent to LA's way if performances equals what Nashville expects this year for Zimmerman. Do you think there's anything to it? Do you think it's more LAFC realizing that we might never get a better offer for him, and we know we have a couple of young center back that might be able to do the job? Should we accept this amount of money? Or is it more LAFC shopping him around, looking at the new CBA and what the future has in store for them, and trying to find a way to get more allocation money down to build for the next 2 to 3 to 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a good point, and I think that certainly this helps Nashville a lot. I think Zimmerman, obviously having the experience with an expansion team, you know, a lot of moving parts, kind of getting started, having a brand new group together, I think he's going to be a big, big asset for them. You know, that's a fantastic pickup for Nashville. So, you know, on their side, I think they're going to be really happy with what they end up getting. I mean, it's totally possible that, the offer was something that LAFC couldn't refuse. The thing that concerns me a little bit about this deal is that it appears Tristan Blackman, who has spent some time at center back, he did kind of unbelievably basically bottle up Zlatan in the playoffs last season from that position, but he's mostly played as a right back for LAFC, and I thought he was going to be the starting right back. Looks like he might be the starting center back, which, you know, that's one of those things that you sort of say, okay, has he, you know, legitimately made a leap up to surpass Zimmerman? Because that seems like not only would he be going from reserve occasional center back to starting center back, but then you would, you know, given the fact that LAFC are in CCL, you know, they want to contend this year, win titles, you're not only asking him to become a starter, but you're asking him to be better than Zimmerman, presumably. Again, I think LAFC have done a good job with their roster so far, and when they've made moves, for the most part, at first, if you're like, ooh, I don't know about that, you know, it kind of shakes out in the end, and it seems to work out. But to me, the big concern is it does not appear that there's going to be, like, they're not on the verge of signing somebody else, which would, you know, kind of make this move maybe a little bit more understandable. And even if they did sign someone else, that person is not going to be ready to play in Champions League in Mexico in 6 days. So, you know, those are questions that you sort of like, okay, are they, you know, really confident that Blackman's going to be able to do this, or are they kind of punting on, I wouldn't say they're punting on CCL, mm-hmm. but like, are they sort of shifting priority? You know, it's a big mystery, and it's one of those kind of wait and see scenarios that obviously as fans and media, sometimes we don't really want to do. We don't really want to wait and see.
We don't necessarily have all the variables of the equation also. Maybe they know something we don't, as maybe someone's going to join them in the secondary window this summer, and they need that allocation right. money to make that happen, which we don't know. Like you mentioned, LAFC has been very successful since their debut in Major League Soccer a couple of years ago. Now, MLS Cup and the playoffs are probably their target over the CCL. Do you think that allocation money could be what LAFC needed to address a need? Of course, by trading Zimmerman, you create a need as a center back, maybe, but is there another position on the roster of LAFC that you think that money can be used to address a need, either all the way to May 5th in the primary window, or maybe in the secondary window this summer?
Yeah, that's to be determined, of course. I mean, I think before this trade took place, for me, the question was backup right back. I think if a Blackman had been the penned-in starter at right back, they need a backup, you know, a credible backup there. And basically, I figured the team was in a really good spot. They had depth pretty much all over the field. You know, now I'm not so sure. We'll see what happens on, you know, those two positions. But actually, what I think I think there's a good possibility that what happened was LAFC went pretty crazy spending TAM. The last couple months, they signed a couple young midfielders out of South America. They signed Kenneth Vermeer, an experienced Dutch goalkeeper from the Netherlands. They spent a lot of TAM, and I don't know if they thought, let's just, you know, I mean, they may have had a surplus and they were using it up, but they may have also been like, okay, we're going to make a calculated gamble that there's only so much TAM, you know, maybe this is our last chance to use TAM. Let's see if we use it. Maybe the new CBA is making complications, or maybe they're just, the funds are depleted. They want to renew that. I'm not sure, but I did find it conspicuous that while the CBA negotiations were going on this offseason, there were, most of the teams kind of didn't seem to use TAM a lot when they were making signings and transfers. And LAFC, I think, we're very aggressive in that department. I think pretty much every move they made involved TAM. So I don't know that they made this move as a way, it was like a panic move to, you know, try and cover the gap or, you know, something like that on funding. But I wouldn't be surprised if they made a gamble with using TAM. Maybe things turned out a little bit differently, or maybe they're just trying to start a new cycle in terms of funding, you know, the kind of allocation money that they're going to need for whatever they're doing next. But that's something that did come to mind. And, you know, this, again, a wait and see thing. It's, you know, it's kind of hard to say. But you know, that may have a knock-on effect either in the future or to help cover what they've already done this offseason.
Thank you, Alicia Rodriguez, for your time today. You can follow Alicia on Twitter at Soccer Musings. She's been covering LAFC since the beginning of their history and covering soccer in Los Angeles way before that. Alicia, we thank you for your time today. We wish you a great day in LA and a great CCL next week.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
And we'll be right back after this short break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Kevin Laramie joined by Dwayne Rollins. As always, thanks to Alicia Rodriguez for her time today. You can follow her work on MLSsoccer.com, SB Nation, and a lot of other places also. And she's on Twitter at Soccer Musings. And you know, Dwayne, it is a big trade. And of course, it's been a busy couple of days here at SPN, and especially in the soccer world, where Nacho Piatti announces his departure officially. Last night, Emmanuel Maciel, a young midfielder from San Lorenzo, was transferred to Montreal on a free, so probably part of that relationship that is now ongoing with San Lorenzo and Montreal. And of course, Atletico Ottawa being officially unveiled yesterday with the logo and everything. And you can get to know more about Atletico Ottawa on our breaking news audio show available across the network that was posted yesterday. Video also available on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. And you can find our Patreon page, patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork, with our usual breaking news audio feed and much, much more. But Dwayne, speaking of Zimmerman and the big trade by LAFC yesterday, what do you think is the motivation of LAFC? We've heard what Alicia thinks, and she's still dumbfounded, as a lot of people are. But what do you think is the motivation of LAFC, or Nashville in this case, for this trade?
Well, Nashville is pretty simple. They've got an established, known commodity within Major League Soccer, which is at the center back position. Invaluable. It is absolutely a key thing to have, very difficult thing to find, and something that they can build around. They have a very nice looking spine so far, and I think that that's an important consideration when you're an expansion team. They're on record of saying that they just don't want to be noticed in their first year, as strange as that sounds.
No, but you're right. Zimmerman's gonna save you five to ten goals a season. You're not gonna concede as much with Zimmerman, you know.
Yeah, like they're not delusional and think they're going to win MLS Cup in their first year. They're not Atlanta. They can't do that, or LAFC for that matter. They do want to be able to start something which allows them to be solid and perhaps compete for that seventh playoff spot, because it's pretty liberal to get in. But nonetheless, if not, then at least be solid. And I think that this is a very big step in that direction. This is a good move for Nashville. And we will have someone from Nashville, our friend Drake. We're going to call him on the cell phone on the weekend or on Friday and talk a little bit about Nashville.
We used to call him on his cell phone.
Yeah. Now it's going to be Skype probably.
But lately, you know, I forgot the lyrics. Okay. Yeah, I was going to push it way too far, but you know. Yeah.
Exactly.
But,
we're going to have him on Friday anyway to talk about Nashville. Drake jokes aside. Look, from LAFC, I don't get it at all. They have to have something in mind.
Yeah.
They have to. Otherwise, this is just dumb.
They traded too many time, too much time. They're like, fuck, we're all out of time. We need to do something. But the thing is, it's a all the way to 1.25 million, 1.25 million we heard. A total allocation potential. So we'll see how much it is, which month is restricted or not. The thing that what I was mentioning to Alicia, and when I asked her, I think that's exactly what it is. It's either Nashville looking at, okay, like, we got a bunch of money here. We're 2 weeks away from the beginning of the season. We need to do some, because we're going to concede a lot of goals. Okay, who are the young defenders or defenders that are good right now in the league that we might be able to trade for? We might have to overpay for them, but we need them. let's give a few calls. And when you look at the type of defense, the type of roster that Nashville has, it's a bit of a KISS roster, which I call, so keep it simple, stupid. And it might work. And you might slot in a defender like Zimmerman, tall, strong player. He's going to be strong in corners, aerial play. He's going to be good on set pieces. He's going to give you a chance to not concede as much. And if you're Nashville, you desperately need that. So I think that's the motivation. I think Nashville called LAFC and were like, okay, how about this? How about Zimmerman for all that we have? Would you say yes? And then be like, oh, I haven't thought about it, but, you know, it's an offer that I can't necessarily refuse. I think there's something there. I think there's something of having a amount of money for LAFC that you think of 2 to 3 to 4 years down the road might be super useful to rebuild that roster with a couple of good players. I think that's what happened there. But it's, of course, pure speculation. It's pure fantasy in my mind. Maybe it's totally different. Maybe it's LAFC who's like, we don't like Zimmerman anymore. I don't know, which I doubt that's the case because he's like top five defender in the league. So I think it's Nashville throwing a big load of money to LA and LA being, well, nice to see you, Walker. It was good to be with you. Now we'll just take my money.
Perhaps. Yeah, look, Walker's, I've put his numbers out from who scored yesterday and what he ranked overall in MLS. And he was across the board on every metric that matters. He is top third in the league in terms of his overall rank on an aerial. Like his aerial play is top 10 literally in the league. Well, it's 11th, I think. So nonetheless, he's a very strong player in the air. Look, I think I've seen reaction to this from LAFC fans that say, oh, that's a lot of money. We won this trade. And, you know, maybe we'll see what you do with it. Whenever I see this, the same thing applies to the other North American sports, only in that case, it's draft picks. People are obsessed with getting draft picks. It's like this, you know, thing that you reach for and hope for. And the more draft picks you get, the better you're going to be, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, you got to do it right. You got to use those draft picks right to get better, right? Otherwise, you're just giving away known commodities for future considerations that might not work out. And that's the key to this trade. We're not going to know how good it is for LAFC until they spend that money, until we see what they do with that money. But I just don't get it. From a team that wants to win things this year, is immediately in a competition a week from now. To me, it's just not a good move. I'm sorry, but the fact that unless they think that the caveat I'll give is unless they think they have some defenders in their system that can do the same things he did, I would be surprised if they do. But if they do, then great. Their talent evaluation and development is wonderful, and they should be praised for that. We'll see what happens when the season starts. But right now on paper, they have done the exact thing that no MLS thing team should do. They have given up an MLS lifer for money and for a spin of the dice. This is what TFC used to do all the time. Back in the day when they were awful, they would go, they'd get this MLS player that was decent, and they'd go, we might be able to get something better internationally, and then they never did, right? They just kept trading down, and we'll see.
Yeah, the famous yeah. We'll see what happens, but to me, I think we have to give LAFC a couple of weeks, maybe to see if they turn around and announce like, hey, okay, we got a big name. But we'll see. It is a week before the CCL, which is a weird timing, which leads us to our next subject. Wayne, CCL starts next Tuesday. Getting excited? Do you have the CCL fever yet? Do you need antibiotics to cover that fever yet?
I'm good. I'm more excited by the end of the month when MLS proper starts, but CCL will be a nice little distraction in the meantime. I don't have a lot of faith in any of the Major League Soccer teams that are participating in this year's CCL. Maybe NYCFC might be the most, to me, might be the best team in there right now. Seattle, I suppose. I just don't understand Seattle. So and they've never really taken this competition that seriously. LAFC has such a tough draw, and
they just traded Zimmerman. So yeah.
Yeah. Montreal
just lost Piatti. So.
Yeah. It's a lot going on there. NYCFC is pretty stable. Actually, NYCFC is a team that no one's really talking about in the offseason because they haven't really given us much reason to talk about them, right?
True, but
they were pretty good last year. So
just got a new manager. Been there not even for a month, Ronnie Dale. Yeah, so we'll see if that happens. So, yeah, if there's one thing that is not encouraging for any, pretty much outside of Seattle, all the CCL teams from Major League Soccer, the other four, is consistency. Even Atlanta, look at Atlanta. How many players from Atlanta left? Villalba, Gonzalez, there's like a bunch of people that left. Gressel? Well,
yeah.
So there's a bunch of players that left Atlanta. Also, no, consistency has not been the constant for the MLS teams taking part in the CCL this offseason, which maybe leads to the fact that we're not that excited yet. We're still 6 days away from next Tuesday when first legs of the quarterfinal starts in the CCL. We'll see if any MLS teams make it further. And in the semis, we'll see. And Saprissa will be a big, big task for Montreal, especially with Noel Piatti. But I think there's other big games here. But like you mentioned, maybe NYCFC is looking like the best of the five right now.
Yeah, look, I think the other thing, too, to answer your question a little less flippantly, yes, I am looking forward to having an opportunity to watch domestic soccer live again. Obviously, it's the start of the season, and of course I'm excited about that, but I am not a hashtag MLS4 guy, and I think that increasingly more and more people are not. So yeah. It's not that I'm going to go in there. Like, I listen to the guys in Extra Time who do a great job at what they do. I'm not trying to bash Extra Time when I talk about it, but they're there to promote the league. And when they talk about their MLS or CCL fever and all that and how they get excited for all the teams, I mean, God, I wish I was that excited for all these teams. I'm just not. It's okay. It's great. Seattle's sure. playing. And yeah, I'll watch and see what happens. I'm not cheering. That's the thing.
Is there such a thing as a hashtag Liga MX for Mexico? Or for oh,
look,
yeah, I mean, Liga MX for Club America, which would never happen because all the other teams hate Club America. Yeah, that's not a thing in Mexico.
Look, I suppress my TFC fandom quite a bit, especially when I'm talking professionally, we'll call this, here. But, you know, you can take the boy out of Toronto, but you can't take the Toronto out of the boy, right? Out of the boy. And ultimately, I don't want another MLS team to win because I want Toronto to be the team that does that. Sorry.
Maybe.
And I'm sure everyone feels that way deep down. I don't think there's a lot of people in this league that would be like, really, like, woo! Way to go, Seattle!
Good job, Sounders. You deserved it. Or Atlanta, like, yay! Good job, Atlanta. You've been through so much. All the years of terrible teams. Oh, wait, yeah. You never had that. Okay, I get it.
You want a fun thing to do out there, folks, to be a little fanny here for a second. Go read Atlanta United fan or listen to Atlanta United fans right now.
Don't.
They're discovering what it's like to be a Major League Soccer team right now, and they're not happy about it. What do you mean our player's gone? How? I don't get it. How is?
Why? All right, let's take a very quick break to thank our sponsors, and let's finish the show talking about some transfer windows, Dwayne.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Patreon.com/SportsPodcastingNetwork to subscribe to our premium podcast feed. $2, $5, and $10 a month. Dwayne and I are working hard on our Turf documentary, which will come out beginning of March. And it will be the second documentary. The documentary about the Gold Cup, how Canada won the 2000 Gold Cup, called The Gold Quest, is now available. And it's going to be a 20-year anniversary. Yes, on the 27th of February. So make sure you get the show while it's available at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You know what day it is today, Dwayne, outside of like Wednesday?
Do tell me.
it's the opening of the primary window of transfer in Major League Soccer. And you ask, hey, but Kevin, like, we've been seeing trades and things happening for the last 2 months. Yes, you heard agreements. You heard parties shaking hands and signing pieces of paper that they will do that deal. But that deal just happened. That deal just happened. Today is when ITCs change hands. And what I mean by ITC is International Transfer Certificate, and that's why Chicharito, who was complaining that he couldn't, that's why. Now he can. The primary window in Major League Soccer opens today all the way to May 5th, 2020. Then there's a freeze. And the primary window, secondary window also includes in-league trades, by the way. So primary window, February 12th to May 5th, 2020. Then there's a freeze on the roster. Secondary window opens on July 7th. All the way to August 5th, 2020. Those are the two windows in Major League Soccer for transfers.
Yeah, it often seems like the window never closes in Major League Soccer because A, the windows are longer than most leagues, and B, MLS signs a lot more free transfers than most leagues, so those guys can come in whenever. But yeah, if you're going to make a major move, today is starting the day that it could happen, and you'll probably, for that reason, and also for the fact that CBA is under wraps, or is done now, is probably going to see a few more major moves in the next few days. So, look, most of the work gets done pre-window and then just gets finalized today, but it certainly is something to look for. I often wonder whether MLS should be closing the windows a little bit quicker than they do, particularly the last one. I mean, you can make changes to your roster into September, for God's sake. So it's
just, yeah, it's how you do it. But I agree, just to give that sense of urgency and to give every team a level playing field that, like, just days before your opening game, you actually have new players coming in, is to give everyone a little more time together. I think maybe going with the window in the winter to close on January 31st, like in England and like in Europe, would give you that sense of urgency. Maybe we'll see. But I understand what you mean, because it's open for so long that clubs wait, and they're like, oh, well, we waited so long, we're just going to wait from May to July. And then you have that sense of prolonging a process that could have been done way quicker. And we've seen this across the board, and maybe you're onto something. Maybe we should shorten the window so that teams do not wait for everybody else, but teams do their moves on their own terms.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing about MLS, of course, is because it's the opposite seasons of most of the rest of the world. True. It does complicate things a little bit. And when I say that, I am not in for the minute advocating for switching that.
What? You think you wouldn't want to play a game next week at BMO Field outside? There's like 75 centimeters. Okay, sorry. There's 4 foot of snow on BMO Field. Maybe not on the pitch because it's heated. Look at the seating. Look at the stands. Yeah, it's just one big ski hill for now.
The people that advocate for, we'll call them like European season truthers, are the only people that make the pro rel truthers look sane. Look, people, and they're always located in the south. Always, yeah, they don't. Yeah,
never been here. Like, come to my apartment for a week in February and tell me how to get ready for playing soccer outside right now. Yeah,
yeah. You want attendances to be 12? You know, God. And
you want death? You want people to die, frozen to death in the stands watching an MLS game? Yeah, play games outside in February in Montreal or Toronto.
Or
Vancouver's
or
fine.
Toronto or Vancouver's Minnesota fine. Or, yeah.
Oh, Minnesota, yeah, exactly. If there was a team in Buffalo, good luck playing in Buffalo in February also, exactly.
Hell, New York, Chicago, like the whole Northeast. It's just not at all. People, get it out of your brains. It's not that big of a deal. The only way you have to be half serious about this. The only way it kind of works is to go with a split season. And I don't want to do that. I don't think that works at all.
Or create or play a lot of games in domes, like, and you use the Olympic Stadium, which we don't.
You'd
want
have to break from Christmas to now, basically.
It's and like then a you'd break, which it already exists. Like, yeah, we should do the winter schedule, but we'll take a break from the end of November to February. Guess what that break's called? It's called off season.
Yeah, it's such a silly, silly thing, people. Anyway,
Anyway, on that note, the transfer window is now open all the way to May 5th, 2020. We'll see if all these things that we've seen happening, the CBA, heck, the Zimmerman, that big trade also might be one of these dominoes that makes all the dominoes go through. Maybe we'll get big transfers, or maybe we won't. There's also that possibility that we won't get much more done in the next few weeks. But guess what? 6 days from now, Major League Soccer teams are playing in the CONCACAF Champions League. We'll start to gear towards the CCL on Friday. We're going to talk about Nashville with Drake Hill, which is going to be a very interesting situation with the mayor stuff, with Mayor John Cooper, with the city council now telling the mayor that, you know what, how about you do the thing that we said we were going to do 2 years ago. I really am looking forward to this big conversation on Friday. Until then, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and this show at Soccer Today SPN, live Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m., 8 a.m. Pacific. You can also listen at 8 p.m. if you want to on podcast version, available everywhere you get your podcast. But until tomorrow, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.